This is Jonathan Mickles with the Strategic Multifamily Investing Podcast. And today I have with me Mr. Wyatt Simon. How's it going, Wyatt?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you, Jonathan?
Doing quite well, doing quite well. It's been a little while since we've been trying to get to connect, but finally we're here. So I'd love to hear a
We
little bit
made
more
it.
about your, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to hear a little bit more about your story. You mentioned that you got into real estate. How did you get into real estate? Let's talk about that. Go for it.
Well, I remember when I was interning in college at Sand Hills Publishing in Lincoln, Nebraska, I was wearing a full suit and tie to sit at a desk and talk to farmers on the phone. It was like straight corporate America out of the 60s.
Oh, okay. So were you smoking cigarettes and everything as well?
I was basically Don Draper from Mad Men, except
Yeah.
for
Okay.
very
That's
poor.
exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
Except for very poor and absolutely hated it.
So why do they want you to wear a suit? Was it because they thought that, you know, a suit is restrictive and it makes you feel professional, and so that's the way you'll talk on the phone kind of thing? Yeah.
It was their culture. It was their atmosphere. The company was truly built between the 40s to the 80s. And then the son took over and kept all the tradition that his dad built. And man, corporate was not for me. I
Gotcha.
remember feeling cooped up in the desk. I was an athlete. I couldn't move. Felt like my body was degrading. And then, man, I just
Wow.
remember,
So
yeah.
you're an athlete, but what was your major in school? What were you doing?
Well, I majored in business administration shortly after I realized that I wanted to play in the NBA. And once I realized I wasn't quite cut out for it, I'm 5'11", by the way.
There's some short guys there. There's some short guys in the
Yeah,
NBA, aren't there?
there were some people. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, didn't quite make it. So yeah, majored in business admin and then eventually stumbled across a book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which I'm sure a lot of people have read. Right,
Oh
the
yeah.
Purple Bible.
Did you get to play the game? Did you play the game at all? Cash Flow.
I did. Yeah, I love that game.
Yeah, it's really cool. I used to host games back in the early 2000s. But go ahead. You read Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yep. So I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad while I was interning in college, and that just blew my mind that assets could work for you while you sleep, so that you didn't have to work for money. And I was like, anything to get me out of corporate America, I'm going to try that. So that's what started the whole thing. And then fast forward a couple of years later, I was moved to Omaha, Nebraska, and ended up purchasing a duplex. And that was intro to real estate, living in one side, renting out the other. And then eventually started getting more single families and a little bit more. And then eventually set up a direct-to-seller system where I bought over 20 houses in a year and then 20 houses the next year, and then moved into multifamily due to the scalability. And then the last thing I ended up doing recently is I vertically integrated about 2.5 years ago. So all management's in-house. I got 5 full-time employees running the ship.
So let's go back a little bit further. That was a lot in a very short period of time. So you decided to get a duplex. Was that solely because of Rich Dad, Poor Dad? And, you know, why a duplex? Why not a quad? Why not just have a single family? What was your thoughts there?
Well, I wanted a quad. But truth be told, I could not find a quad. I couldn't find a threeplex, and I was getting outbid on everything that I put anyways. So it took me 6 months of looking for something and getting outbid and feeling like I was just hitting my head against a wall trying to get something, right? It was so
What
frustrating.
year was this in? What year was this in? So,
this was 2018 when I finally got
okay.
my first property.
Gotcha. So you had 2018, you got your first property. And were you still working at the advertising firm, or were you doing some other things right then, you know, and, you know, you got your down payment through other means? I mean, you know, just because, and yeah, how did you get the resources to be able to just to get your first one?
Great question. So I took a W-2 job at a different company, and that W-2 job had salary plus commission. The reason I'm going to harp on that is, number one, I needed salary so I could get a loan, and I got an FHA loan, right? So I put 3.5% down, as little as possible. I was broke 22-year-old. Number two, the reason I wanted a commission job was because I wanted to have uncapped earnings. I wanted something where if I put more effort in, I could get more out and I could get a loan. And so I was able to find a foundation sales job and did that for 3.5 years while I slowly built my portfolio And it was very slow. I want to touch on that too. Like everyone, like a lot of people hear, you financially independent in 6.5 years. Like, holy crap, that's so fast. Well, it's like, dude, the first year I bought 2 properties. The second year I bought 3. Third year I bought 6. And then it started to go 20 and
Well, I mean,
25 and
that's still a lot there too, so you had a great foundation in having a W-2 job, uncapped, earnings. You went the FHA route, which most people who are doing first-time home buyer, type things are doing that. So generally it's 3.5% down. So if you've got a $100,000 property, that's $3,500, right? Plus it takes you anywhere from 3 to 5% to actually close. So let's just say the high side of 5,000. So that's $8,500 that you need to come out of your pocket in order to get into your first property. But because you're getting not only the commission and the W-2 from the first job, and you're not spending it, right? You weren't trying to go out and get a Bugatti the first day, right? And you kept stacking and stacking that allowed you to be able to buy your second one. Now, did you have to put down like 15, 20% for your second one? How did that work out?
great question. So for my second one, I had been talking to a private money lender for 9 months, right? It was my family. I didn't come from a ton of money, but what I did learn is that equity is also just as good as cash in some cases. And so my parents, they didn't have a lot of cash, but what they did have is they had their house paid off. And I was a late bloomer, just full disclosure. My mom was 41 when I came along. I was the oops. So they were a little bit older on the parent side. But anyway, so they had their house paid off in cash. And I said, "Dad, we need to do this BRRRR strategy thing. It is phenomenal. It's a phenomenal way for us to just take this little bit of cash and just recycle it to continue to buy properties." And if anybody doesn't know what the BRRRR strategy is, it stands for buy, renovate, rent, refinance, repeat. And the reason that's so powerful is because I was able to take their, we set up a home equity line of credit on my parents' house.
There you go. Okay.
And then I was able to take that out, buy a property, improve the property, renovate that property's money, give it back to my parents plus interest. Right. And then I was able to keep this property for quote unquote free. And after I had no money into the property, I was like, holy crap, this is the strategy. This is how I can create financial independence. I just got to keep finding deals like this and just repeat.
And repeat. And so for those that are out there, a home equity line of credit is like having a second loan. It's actually a lot higher than the interest rate that you would have on a first, but because they didn't have any a first loan, right, it made it a lot easier. Back in the early 2000s, or in the mid early mid yeah the early 2000s, before the crisis, a lot of people were getting HELOCs, as we call them, on their home for the exact same thing. But they were significantly higher and they had a first mortgage. And if you're unable to pay the first mortgage plus the HELOC loan, that was putting a lot of people at risk to actually lose their home. And in your situation, you're saying you had a mom and dad that paid everything off. So that's a beautiful thing. And then secondly, they trusted you that you could actually do this. And they could trust you because you had your first home that you had fixed and renovated and was renting out. So they were able to see track record, right? And so this private money lender, if you will, that was family, which a lot of people do get their start from, was able to see that you were able to make it happen, and they trusted you. That's really good. That's a very good situation. How long did it take for you to be able to be in it and to refinance to give them their money back so that they could pay off the HELOC?
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, Jonathan. One thing I'll touch on too. So my dad, I talked to this about this BRRRR strategy 9 months in advance, right? The first time I told him about this, he's like, absolutely not, no way, right? And then a month later, gotta try this. Like, look at this, look at these numbers, right? I'm running the numbers, I'm getting educated, I'm doing what I think I can. I kept asking, and I kept showing that I was getting more educated. And simultaneously, I was doing better at my job. Right. So I was starting to earn more commissions. I was starting to have more net profit. So as those two things started to happen, the risk became less. And eventually they gave me a shot. And thank the Lord it ended up going well. So to answer your question about how long it took on the refinance, it took me 6 months to actually do the work. because I was actually doing the work. So every day after work, so I would clock out from my job and then I'd go over to the property, and from 5 to 10, I'd be working on that property, which I don't recommend and I don't teach now.
So then, and let me back up. Generally, if you get a loan like that, and it was a what kind of loan? It was it a, it was a second home loan for them, but you know, they could just sign it and you know, use the money for anything, right? But what some people do is they'll go and get an investor loan, you know, to buy the second property, and that requires 10 or 15% to have down, which is a lot different in your situation because you had the money for renovation in your own account, right? Which was separate from the money that was needed to actually buy the property, correct? Okay, good. So there's a lot of pit, you know, pitfalls and traps, and generally it takes 6 months to refinance anyway, right? Once you get a loan on another property, but you didn't have a loan on the property that you bought, the second property that you bought, and but you had the money for renovation and you got everything done. Okay, cool. So I understand that. Why did you? I mean, were you always a handy person growing up? I mean, you know, how did you learn to do what you did in the property?
Yeah, God, no. I was not a handy person at all. I didn't know a thing about what I was doing. I just knew I didn't want to work in corporate America. And I was like, I'll do whatever it takes. And so I'll say this. I did not know how to do any of it. So one of my basketball teammates in college, he grew up on the farm. He was super handy and he lived in Omaha close to me. And so what I did is I called him and I said, Nate, here's the deal. I'll pay you 25 bucks an hour. You do this work with me after. I'll just be your grunt. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. We'll eat Chick-fil-A every freaking day because it's right next to Lowe's, and we'll just get this thing done. And that's what we did. And I started to learn, okay, this is how much things cost for rehab. These are how much materials cost, and that all helped me later on when I started to set up more systems and strategies and work with contractors, to do the work.
That's very, very clear because you didn't know, but you knew someone who knew. Again, another very close friend of yours that you could then rely on to help you get wherever you needed to go. And some people say, yeah, I just did it all myself and then I got off of work. And it's like, hold on, how is it to code? How is it to this? But again, you know, thank goodness for Nate and having good friends there. Okay, cool. So you got Nate, you were working for 6 months. At the end of 6 months, you refinanced the property, right? And pulled everything out, took the money, gave it back to your parents. Did your parents invest in with you moving forward, or they'd say, okay, you got it now, go for it. You know, it's all you.
Yeah, so the first one, they actually retained 50% equity as well as their interest they made. And then moving forward, actually it was their decision. They told me, they're like, hey, we don't want the equity moving forward. We'll just take the interest that we earn on this, and now you have my blessing. Go for it. And so then,
Wow.
you know, after that it was smooth sailing, never made another mistake, and super easy.
Of course not. Of
Yeah.
course not. You're perfect. You're
No.
perfect. So, okay. So, did you have any other mentoring in this other than you doing the numbers? I mean, you know, who were your mentors back then? You said you were doing the numbers and things of that sort. Most people go through courses and things of that sort. I mean, what did you do specifically there?
So I'll be transparent. I had a very good I went to a lot of meetups, I'll say that. So I had some local knowledge that were helping me. There was one of the members of the meetup, his name's Colin Schwartz. He helped take me under his wing a little bit. He could tell that there was a motivated young buck that wanted to do something, and he was a little bit more experienced. And so he helped me run numbers on things initially. But I also just, you know, I listened to every single Bigger Pockets episode up to about 357 twice, right? So I was
Wow.
committed to learning.
Yeah. And then Bigger Pockets also has resources. Did Colin have access to maybe the MLS, the Multiple Listing Service, or anything like that? Or did you work with any agents? How did you do comps and things of that sort? Yeah.
I worked with an agent here in town that is also a business owner, and he just helped me kind of on the side find a deal, and we put it under, you know, unfortunate and fortunate. We did 43 offers and finally got it accepted. So he was a little tired of
Oh.
working with me at the end, but
Yeah,
we.
you that was a commitment right there. Was that agent also a part of the meetup or no?
No, he was not. He was actually someone I met
Okay.
through Bigger Pockets when I was moving to Omaha. I just looked for someone who is investor friendly that could help me.
That's very really key. I know that there is a designation. It's been restarted again called the Certified Investor Agent Specialist. I'll put a plug in for that one. I used to, not only do I have that certification, but I also used to teach that certification to real estate agents to help them to work with investors just like yourself and like us to be able to do what we need to do. So if you're looking for an agent, just a suggestion, reach out to Brandon Lauder and that team over there. There's nationwide, there are agents all over the place that understand this and can get, hey, it's a 43, maybe 43 contracts that you may have to put in. But one of the things that they do with CIAS is they go and hunt for properties. So you're not having to put things in. They come to you and say, hey, here is a property. Here are the numbers I've run on this property. Is this something that fits into your, some people call it the buy box, right? That you would want to get involved in. And I think having that where did your agent bring things to you, or were you perpetually, hey, could you put an offer in on this kind of thing?
A little bit of both.
That's good. So then you were able to work with the agent, got some numbers, you got somebody else in the meetups, and there are tons of them that are out there, and you can find somebody to help you. Okay, good. So you had help along the way. That's great. It wasn't all that. So now you started buying multiple properties. Why continue to go single family? You obviously at some point in time decided to scale up and go multifamily. Why continue to do more and more properties?
Yeah. So in regards to the, I guess I'll back up a second too. So
Sure.
it wasn't perfect. Like the next one, I just said I was joking that it was
Oh
perfect,
no,
but
I know it's not. That's what I was asking. What kind of help did you get? Yeah.
my next one, I took me 11 months to rehab. I went $40,000 over budget. I got flagged by the city and I had to learn what red tagging is and getting permits and all of the things, right? And so I paid the learning tax, right? By the ignorance tax by not having a mentor and going through some of these challenges as well. And that's why
Okay.
I love being able to coach people to help them not do that. But I'll kind of fast forward through that. So after I learned okay, what not to do, and thankfully I was still able to burr out of it, the next kind of path in my journey was I was able to start to do, okay, two or three or six properties a year because I was able to leverage starting to get more and more acquisitions and more contractors to do these things and learn how financing worked. And then,
Okay, so then I've got to pause. So were you
all right.
doing more traditional financing now? Like you're getting, because sometimes, I think there's a limit to the amount of, investor loans that you can do in single family. Or were you doing hard money? What type of things were you doing in terms of the financing route on that?
Yeah, so this is one of the things that I teach my students. I was just talking about it literally
Oh,
last week
good.
about it.
Good.
So one of the major loan products out there is banks. As long as you have a good relationship and you know what you're doing or you have some experience, right? They will actually fund either 100% and rehab costs sometimes of the as completed appraisal. And so
Local banks, right?
local banks. Yep.
There we go. There we go. All right, gotcha. So you had a relationship with the local bank. You put together kind of a portfolio that says, here are all the properties that I've done, here are the numbers so far. Forget about the third one that I went $40,000 over on. And they said, yes, we think this is a good risk.
Yeah. And don't forget about it. Like I learned from that one, right? So here's cards on the table. Here's my lumps and bruises. So I actually have some lumps and bruises.
There you go. Because
Yeah.
I
And
think a
then
perfect, having presenting a perfect picture like nothing ever went on is kind of suspect anyway. And they'll probably want to throw up a red flag. So let's not be shy about sharing the bumps and bruises. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
yeah. And so what you can do is you can buy properties cash if you got it, right? If you don't have the cash, you can take equity out to buy properties. Or what can happen is banks will do an as completed appraisal on the property. So if a project is you're going to do a rehab to it, they'll say, okay, after the rehab, this is how much it's worth. Well, some banks will loan up to 75 or 80% of the as completed appraisal. That's a big deal if you're buying it discounted enough because now they'll fund maybe 100% of the purchase and maybe even 100% of the rehab, right? And so
But you have to have good credit. And that's very interesting that they'll actually give you the renovation as well, because some people want you to have skin in the game. So did you have to have skin in the game in that situation, or were you at the point of your career that you had enough track record that you this worked and they trusted you?
Yeah, most wanted skin in the game, and this progressed. So
Okay.
initially, what happened is I was just buying them with a line of credit and cash and then refinancing it. And then it progressed to, okay, I can take that line of credit and I can put 20% down and the bank will fund 80% plus the rehab. And so
Got
now
it.
that line of credit allows me to buy four houses at once instead of one house at once. And
There you
then
go.
I was able to start scaling from there and had to learn a lot of operational efficiencies, because just because you can get the money doesn't mean you should use the money, because you got to be able to manage rehabs and manage tenants and everything else.
So let me go back. You keep giving me things that are like, this is good. This is excellent information, and I'm pretty sure that your coaching program, which I want to get to, and I want you to talk about that. You got a line of credit. What about which property did you decide to go out and get a line of credit on?
So the line of credit was the HELOC from my parents.
There you go. Okay, so that's the line of credit. Okay, I thought maybe you got your own line of credit thereafter, because again, they said that they only needed to have again, like you gave them 50% of the equity, and then you said you gave them the interest that you were doing, on the stuff moving forward. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Got
So
it.
to
So that was your
simplify it,
private
because
equity.
man, yeah, if you got questions about it, I'm probably not explaining it very well. So let me maybe take one
No.
more crack at this.
It's perfectly fine. Because some families I know that, or people that work with you say, okay, you have the money, you're good, you're gone, and it's a one-time thing. It's not a consistent sort of situation where they're going to continue to invest in you. They want their money back. You go ahead and continue with whatever you're doing. But this is good that that was a perpetual line of credit that you could tap into. It makes tons of sense. Makes complete
And
sense. So I got
yep,
it.
and every single property was individual, right? So we would buy the property, improve the value, refinance the property, and pay back that line of credit, right? So it was contingent on me finding and funding great deals. And thankfully, I wasn't scared to put in a lot of offers, as you heard from the first one.
A lot of offers. Okay, so you're now hitting, you're four at a time, and then ultimately you get to the point where you're doing 20 at a time. And I think that the original question, and I apologize if I sidetracked you here, is why get a bunch more houses? Why not just go right into apartment building investing? Because some people believe you don't have to go and do the Burr strategy initially. You could go directly to multifamily and start doing it that way. Can you help me understand why you decided to go that direction?
Yeah, you sure can. And I still take that Burr strategy into multifamily, and I've done multifamily 100% of Burrs, which have been phenomenal. So the strategy works across asset classes. The reason why I didn't go straight into multifamily is because I just didn't know. Like, you don't know what you don't know, right? And so my solution was, okay, I was able to do six in year three. How can I do more? Well, my biggest bottleneck was I'm not getting deeply discounted deals. Like, I'm having to bid on market with everyone else, or from wholesalers where I'm still bidding with everyone else. And so it was 2020 when I set up my own direct to seller system with my business partner, Sean French, and we started driving for dollars and getting our own leads and working our own leads. And all of this was after work, right? So my business partner is literally sneaking to the bathroom during his day job to take these calls, and 9 out of 10 of them are F you, right? Don't call me. But 1 out of 10 are, hey, I'm interested in selling my house. So then he'd book an appointment for me. And then after work at 6 p.m., I'd go over there and see if we can line up a number and make something happen.
So this was all during COVID as well, right? Because I mean, 2020, March 2020, the world shuts down. How were you all handling that?
Yeah, I'll say in Nebraska, the world didn't shut down as much as everyone thinks.
Got
we
it.
were COVID light. But yeah, I was still respectful. I'd wear a mask if people wanted to wear a mask, and wear gloves if you wanted to. But we didn't move to virtual appointments. Things ran pretty steady.
Cool. Excellent. So you continue to do that for a while and direct to seller, meaning you contacted the seller to see if they were interested in, You built up obviously a system for that, right? You built up a lot of a lot of thick skin for no's in getting in that. And so this led you to now doing the 20 or so in a year. Is that when 2020 is when you started doing 20 or so properties?
Yep. And I discovered what I coined the 2 week burr. And so
Okay, talk to me.
was able to take private money, buy a property, and refinance it within 2 weeks, and roll right on to the next one, which is allowing me to, we did at our peak, we did 7 houses in 1 month doing the 2 week burr.
You took private money, mom and dad, right? And you got into a house, and then you did pretty much the lipstick on the pig, right? You changed the carpet, did the paint type thing. And then 2 weeks after that, you went to the bank, the local bank, and then got a refinance to be able to then sell that property. Is
Yeah,
that what
and
that was?
we didn't sell it, right? We kept it,
Oh,
right?
you kept the
So
property.
you got it right. We'd buy it. In some cases, it would take us 3 days. In some cases, it would take us 2 weeks, right? And we would just do the quick reno and then get the bank to give us the refied value and pay back the private loan. And so now we're picking up these properties for free. And in some cases, we were cashing out. We were literally walking away with 10, 20, 30 grand
Wow.
tax-free in our pocket, plus the house.
Tax-free plus the house. That's a good thing to say right there. Even though it is you're using active whatever. So you were no longer doing the renovations yourself this time, right? I mean, that's a lot of turnover at that point in time. I mean, when did you start learning to, okay, I need to get a crew in? Where did you find them?
It was my third property. The Purple Palace is what I like to call it, but that was the one that went 11 months over. It was a blessing in disguise, right? Like I figured it would take me maybe 4 or 5 weeks with me and Nate doing it, like it was a small little 2 bedroom. I could do it after work. The city of Bellevue has city inspectors that drive around town. And so when they saw a storage, a trash dumpster, they stopped by and said, "What are y'all doing here?" We said, "We're working on the property." And they said, "You need a permit." And I was like, "What's a permit?" And so anyways, they red tagged me, and essentially they forced me to get contractors. So I had to find contractors and I had to work with contractors. And I found licensed contractors. We got the work done. Unfortunately, they were booked out, so it just took so much longer than expected, and it went rolling down the road. But at the end of the day,
Where did you go to find them? And what were some of the places that you did you just pick up the phone and the phone book and or go online and start finding people, say, hey, you're a contractor, da, 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 come on out, take a look, give
yeah,
me an estimate.
great question. So I called the city first and I was like, "Okay, who do you recommend?" And they provided me a list of licensed contractors. And then I just started cold calling, going down the list until someone answers the phone. And man, God forbid a contractor answers the phone, huh? But we finally
But that's
got
a, I
some that
mean,
answered the phone.
but that's a good thing. But that's the best way to do it. So go into your local municipality and see if they have a list of contractors. The reason why is because the city knows them. So the city is not going to come and bug you if they know who it is that's actually doing it and who's going to do it correctly and according to standard. Might be a little bit more expensive than probably some other crews that are out there, but you get the approval of the permits, et cetera, better. So that was all in 2020. You started picking up the pace, and some days you were doing 7 in a month, right? I think that's what you said. So you're on a
After
roll. You're
work.
making it happen after work, and you're still working. Okay, all right. When did you say I'm done working, or are you still working the 9 to 5?
It was 2021. It was December of 2021 when I made the jump and I said, "All right, I am going to leave this W-2." I had a 6 month reserve. We had just bought another 20 properties that year. And I had also bought in 3 multifamilies that year. And I said, "Okay, I'm going to make the leap. The things are going well."
3 multifamilies. What type of multifamilies are there? Are they the 100 units a piece, or what type of multifamilies are you buying at this point in time?
No, when I started out with a 23 unit, it was just me and a partner. We bought it. We improved the value. We refinanced all of our money and a lot more out. It was a great deal. And that was when I was just like, "Holy crap, this is like light bulb moment. I've been working so hard on all of these singles, and it's like I can just do one 23 unit and saved myself about 6 to 7 months worth of work, right? It was
There you
just as
go.
fruitful.
So that's a very positive thing. A couple of things you mentioned. You said you got 6 months of a track record, not track record, of a emergency fund, if you will, before you left your job. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to leave. I'm doing all these things. No, I have this money that's going to insulate me, and I know that I have a way of being able to make 6 months worth of money by getting these smaller multifamily deals. So, that seems to be a great thing. And so that made you get to the point, and you already had the track record of the bumps and bruises and everything behind you, to know that you could continue to do that. And obviously I'm pretty sure you had the support of your parents there as well, your private equity partners, that is, to help you
Yes.
as you were moving forward.
You would
That's
think
awesome,
so,
man.
but they were not super. They did not want me to leave my job. I was doing decent at my job. They said you should keep your job, and I said I just don't want to be in corporate. And the worst case scenario is I can always go back, right? Like this is my one chance. And man, it was probably the hardest decision I have ever made, was leaving my W-2 job. And it was not easy, and there was a lot of lost sleep, but I'm so grateful that I did. I chose the path that was the narrow path, and it's not been the smoothest, but man, it's been the most rewarding. And I would not be where I am today without making that leap of faith.
Were you in sales as well, before you left corporate America?
I was. Yep.
Oh
I was
yeah. So
a
you.
foundation sales expert. So
Okay.
I was the guy you didn't want to see come to your house because you called me when you had a big crack, and I would have to figure out what's going on and see if you wanted to fix it.
You go. You were definitely charging a bunch of arm, a leg, a foot, a lot of HELOCs and refinances going on there. And if not, we want to condemn the property.
I was
There
the number one rep for getting financed projects. So there you go.
you go. So you said you got into a 23 unit, as a multifamily. And a lot of people, when they get into multifamily, they want to go big. Why go small? Was that because of your partner's influence, or just the financing of the thing? Or what were your thoughts about that?
I mean, to me, 23 units was huge. All right. Like the biggest thing I owned
Okay.
was a duplex. And I wasn't looking at this as a syndication. I was saying, how can I, how, I'm a buy and long-term hold investor.
There
Right.
you go.
So I wasn't raising capital for this. I was literally just, okay, how can I afford to take this thing down? And when it's a $900,000 price tag, which is probably peanuts for a 23 unit now, right? But with a $900,000 price tag, it was pretty shocking at first. And thankfully, I had set this up. Colin Schwartz, the guy in my market, really helped me run the numbers on this multifamily thing. And he also helped me negotiate it so that it was actually a seller finance deal where I put
Oh
10%
wow.
down and then I
Wow.
partnered for the other 5%. So I only had to bring
Wow.
5% to this deal to get into it. And that made it so much more attainable. And these are the things that I love because it's like people don't talk about this. This is what I coach on, man. This is what I love helping people get into.
Then let's talk now about the music, because I do have questions about that, but I'm gonna leave it alone. I want to talk about your coaching, because I want people to be able to see why get involved in coaching. I mean, because you're doing well. You learned the game of, fix and hold, buy and hold. You've learned the game of going into multifamily. Why get into a whole nother strategy of teaching it? I mean, you could just continue to do what you're doing now and keep moving.
Well, if you can see the quote behind me, it's John Maxwell, and it says, "A leader knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way." And I have spent a lot of time and effort, late nights, after work, going the way and trying to figure out the way, right? And then going the way. And so now it's so rewarding to show the way to people because I know the financial benefit that's happened to me. And I want other people to be able to experience that because I feel if you can get assets working for you, then that brings you security, number one. It brings you freedom, and then ultimately it allows you to go live a deeper purpose if you're not worried about finances. And so those are really the three things that I love bringing to people. And man, like last year we had five students that acquired $2.5 million worth of real estate, and I love seeing those guys go out there and build their financial futures for their family. And It's kick ass, man. I love it.
There you go. The light bulb moment comes on and it changes everything when you teach. I understand that. So what's the name of the organization or the company that you put together? John Maxwell is great, by the way. He's awesome.
Yeah, he is
Organization.
great. Well, so if anyone wants to learn more about it, you can go to wyattsimon.com, WyattSimon.com, wyattsimon.com. And there I've got a ton of free resources if you just want to learn. If you want to get involved, you can go ahead and apply to get coaching and then eventually schedule a call with me and we can unpack what your goals are and see if we're a good fit.
Now, Wyatt, I understand that you're going the way of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and you're probably going to put some of this stuff in a book. Am I correct in saying
That is correct. Yes, we have
that?
I have
So talk to
organized.
me about that. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I'm pumped. So I've been working on this book for like it took me 3 months just writing everything that I had gathered, right? It's all out there, the Bigger Pockets information, like it's all out there, but it's not like concise and gathered. It's like, okay, what if I was restarting, would I want in one single place for someone to start so that they can get to 0 to 100 the fastest? Right. And so I spent 3 months on a park bench, no chat GPT, just putting it all into a book. And I'm excited to say in March on Amazon, 0 to 100, the investor's playbook for scaling a rental portfolio is coming out.
That's awesome, man. Now you're gonna have to give us a link so that we can go pre-order this book. Make sure that we make it a New York Times bestseller or something like that. Is there a specific date that you have so that people can know? We're in the year 2024 when we're recording this. So, is there a date that this is coming out?
Don't have a launch date yet. I was told it's going to
Okay.
take 8 weeks from the editors about a little bit ago, so it should come out end of March. I'm sure we'll put a link in the description so everybody can pre-order it.
Absolutely. Well, listen, man, congratulations on your journey. You definitely have been a leader here. Not only have you been knowing the way, right? And you're going the way, which is important before you actually show the way. So thank you for all of that that you're doing. Is there anything else that in terms of the way that people can contact you other than wyattsimon.com, is there another way that they can get to you on any socials that you check?
Yeah, well, Jonathan, first, I appreciate you having me on. It's an honor to be here and you got great energy. So appreciate it,
Thank
brother.
you. Thank you.
As far as your question, I am very active on Facebook. So if you look me up on Wyatt Simon on Facebook, you'll find me. Also on Instagram at Wyatt Buys Buildings.
Wyatt buys buildings. Okay, go take a look at that. And so our last question that we give to every person that comes on to our podcast is we want to give people, I was point the wrong way. We're going to give them the boot. There we go. It's over there somewhere. And in terms of giving them the boot, you know, it's the piece of information or advice that you would give to someone to do that next thing. You've had a lot of experience. What piece of information would you give us to give us the boot to move next?
It's probably going to be different than you think, but I think everything in life, action starts from clarity. And you can't start taking action if you're not clear about the end goal. Begin with the end in mind and where you want to go. And so for me, I read 7 Habits of Highly Effective People when I was 21, and it shaped my life so much. In there's an activity of going to your own funeral. Right. And what are people saying at your funeral? And so if you haven't gone through that activity, if you haven't formed your personal mission statement, if you don't know your core values that you stand for, I would encourage you to get all of that stuff dialed in for who you are as a person. And that will help you lead where you need to be spending your effort and energy, and it'll help you give you more motivation. So I'll say start with you, and then the rest of the stuff will figure itself out.
It's excellent. Begin with the end in mind. I believe that's the one of the steps, right? That's the first step on the 7 Habits. I'll go into my story about 7 Habits. But listen, thank you again for your time, Wyatt. And we're looking forward to buying that book and supporting you. And again, people, please reach out to this gentleman. This gentleman has a vast amount of information. Even as he is young, he still has a head full of hair, you know? But thank you again, Wyatt, and all the best to you, okay?
Thank you, Jonathan.